Hello and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. Today on the show is Dr. Sanda Moldovan, an award-winning periodontist, the founder of Beverly Hills Dental Health and Wellness, nutritionist, and author of Heal Up, 7 Ways to Faster Healing and Optimum Health. She's a big advocate of natural forms of healing and frequently appears on shows like The Doctors, spreading the good word about teeth and gums and just kind of overall oral care. She often says the mouth is the gateway to your health, and after talking with her, I definitely believe it. So, I hope you enjoy. Was deciding on the cover of this, like, did that take a while to figure out how you wanted to?
I'm more the publisher put it together, you know? So, they just took a picture, and this was a picture of my garden. So, since I'm talking mostly about, you know, natural things, I wanted more of a natural type of setting.
So, the publisher sends you then a graphic and says, like, hey, do you
yes,
like this?
Exactly. Oh. They send me a graphic.
Yeah, that, well, like you were saying, it's like, seems like it would take a while just because of the layout and like going over something. And then how many times does it have to be proofread?
Right, exactly.
You know? Look at all these terms. Like, all these like medical terms, you know?
Yeah, right? I know, that's true.
Yeah, I'm like, who would know if it was spelled wrong? I wouldn't. So this is a super obvious question to you.
Yes.
But can you explain the difference between being a dentist and a periodontist?
Yes, that's a good question. A lot of people don't know what a periodontist is unless you have to deal with one.
Oh, right? Yeah. Yeah.
So a periodontist, we deal with a foundation around teeth. So, you know, you have a tooth, and around the tooth, you have bone and gums and nerves and sometimes sinuses. So I deal with all of that surrounding the tooth. Peri means around. So periodontist means anything around the tooth.
Oh, peri means around. Yes, that makes sense.
In Latin.
Gotcha. So what is like the most common procedure that you do in your office?
The most common procedure I do is treating gum disease or periodontitis. So periodontitis means the disease around the tooth.
Yeah.
Which comes because usually bad bacteria. People have contracted it from their parents or from somebody they're kissing.
And really?
I know. Now all of a sudden you have gum disease. Also, they don't brush their teeth properly.
Yeah.
And they're also genetically predisposed to gum disease. Uh-huh. That's the most common thing I treat.
I didn't know that that could be a genetic thing.
Yeah, some people are predisposed to bone loss around their teeth. So, you know, their teeth get loose, they start moving, and they lose their teeth long term.
So when you say that someone is kissing another person and they're exposed to it, does that just mean that you're locking lips with someone just with bad oral hygiene? Like they have a lot of bacteria in their mouth?
Yes. So every time I date somebody, I make sure I do a full exam prior.
Yeah, no. Definitely. I'm sure probably all the people in your life are like, you have to have good oral hygiene.
That's right.
Right?
For sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I've heard you talk a little bit about, well, in the various places that I've listened to you speak or read about, a lot of times this comes up. The mouth is the gateway to one's health.
Yes.
Right? Do you feel like that's your mantra?
That's definitely the mantra at our office as well, at Beverly Hills Dental Health and Wellness. But whatever we put in our mouth and we chew and we swallow and then it gets digested affects our mouth as well. The way the food causes inflammation shows up in the mouth as well. Like nutritional deficiencies show up in the mouth. Stress, for example, shows up in the mouth as really severe wear on teeth, you know, when people are stressed and they're grinding. So the mouth is really a gateway to overall health.
Yeah. What is a way that like a nutritional deficiency could show up in your mouth, out of curiosity?
For example, sometimes you see people with a red glossy tongue. That's usually an iron deficiency. Or people that have redness at the corners of the lips sometimes. You see this red patch. Could be a B vitamin or folic acid deficiency.
Oh, wow.
Bleeding gums are actually a sign of vitamin C deficiency, especially if there's like no plaque and people brush their teeth and their gums are still bleeding. It could be a vitamin C deficiency.
Wow. I'm trying to think of Does that happen often? Like, would you say a lot of your patients come in and you notice that they have a nutritional deficiency?
I do quite often. And actually, we do run nutritional tests in our office, like a blood test where we can see that. But typically, even the hygienist can recognize these things. If we see abnormally bleeding gums or gums that are sloughing off.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes vegans have gum problems or connective tough problems. Even on the skin, they slough off. That's when we don't have enough, for example, essential amino acids being taken in from eggs, for example, right?
Because
that's a complete nutrient. And a lot of people decide to go vegan right away without actually checking themselves with a nutritionist just to make sure their body is still being nurtured at the same level.
Right.
So that drastic change in diet can definitely cause physical changes as well, such as sloughing gums or maybe not healing very well.
You're a double board certified in being a periodontist and also nutrition, right?
Yes.
That's not very common in the dental world, is it?
No.
Like to go to an office to get your teeth cleaned and to get advice about a nutrition deficiency.
Yes,
right?
It's not very common. And it used to be more common, but then it kind of fell out of favor, and now we're going back to it because we're realizing more and more as a dental profession how important it is. And a lot of the hygienists are starting to do more nutritional counseling with their patients.
Gotcha.
But nutrition is something that the dentists are learning more about because we know so much more about it. But you're right, it's not common at all.
Yeah. I guess you could say the same about just going to your general care practitioner. You don't always get like nutritional advice, but more people are kind of becoming aware of like the connection that food has on.
Yes, and even in medicine, a lot of the physicians I work with are integrative physicians or functional medicine, and they do talk to their patients about food and nutrition. So we are going back to the basics because we are what we eat, absorb, and digest.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. What in you coming in, I've been thinking about just like the random things that I, like snacks that I'll have during the day, which aren't always good as far as like mints.
Yes.
That stuff gets caught in your teeth, right? That's not good.
Yes, mints, caramels, it could be sticky.
The sticky stuff.
But actually, even surprisingly, bananas. You know, some people want to have a banana because of good potassium. It's very sticky.
Yeah.
So actually, bananas can also cause cavities because of that reason.
Oh, that is. A lot of times people say that like chewing on ice isn't good, right?
Right.
Are there any other just things that you would think wouldn't be terrible? Like bananas to me, I would never think would be potentially harmful to your teeth.
Yes.
But are there any other things like that?
Yeah, like dried fruits, for example. Some people think, oh, you know, I can eat some dried fruits. Those are good for me. Yes, but they're sticky, you know, when you have those dry, especially for the holiday season.
Yeah.
You get dried, you know, apples or berries, apricots or whatever. Even the freeze-dried things that now are at the supermarket, those are very sticky. So sugar is sugar. Even the sugar in the fruits, once it's stuck to the tooth, can cause cavities.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have to be careful with those.
I love, we have a dehydrator at home and
nice.
Making like dried mangoes with some like cayenne pepper and
sounds delicious.
Yeah,
just make sure you brush your teeth after that.
Yes. No, that's probably good to do. Good to know. Even after like people at work, I don't always do this, but some people I work with religiously brush their teeth after eating lunch here, which seems like you might as well, right? Because it's just going to sit on your teeth all day long.
Yeah,
you eat.
I think you can either brush your teeth or use a water jet. You know, water jet is like pulsates around the teeth to actually remove the debris in between the teeth.
Is that the same thing as a water pick?
Yes, same thing. It's an oral irrigator. I mean, and let's say you don't have either one of these available, right? You're at work and you can't exactly go to brush your teeth. What you can do is just take a sip of water, swish vigorously, right? And just you can swallow it or you can spit it out depending on where you're at. But yes, at least we can do that one thing.
What does perfect oral hygiene look like to you? You know?
Yes, good question. So perfect oral hygiene, a lot of people might think is scrubbing the heck out of your teeth, right?
Yeah.
Just scrubbing and flossing to get everything out of there. The problem is our mouth is not meant to be sterile. So we need friendly bacteria as well. So optimum hygiene means yes, let's maintain, you know, the disease-causing bacteria, the one that causes cavities and gum disease, to a minimum by brushing, water flossing, but also nourishing the mouth by taking some probiotic mints or probiotic chewable powders to help.
Kind of bring good bacteria in.
Exactly. I think we have too many antiseptic products on the market today. There are, some of them are very harsh. Some of the mouthwashes on the market are very, very acidic, like have a pH like wine.
Yeah.
And then you swish with them and people say, oh, my teeth are very sensitive because they've been swishing with this acid-like mouthwash. So that's too much for the teeth. So I think as long as we have good brushing and flossing techniques and then incorporating some kind of probiotic to keep the gums and teeth healthy.
And you said a probiotic mitt. Is that something that you can just buy anywhere? Or do you get that? Would you have to get that at like Whole Foods or... You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I've never seen that in the grocery store.
Exactly. So probiotics in oral health as well as in gut health have really been exponentially increases because of all the research has shown how beneficial they are for our body. So you probably are familiar with the one with the stomach. You know, you want to take a probiotic so your stomach feels better, for example. But now we're looking at the mouth. So in the last few years, I've been really looking at the research on chewable probiotics for the mouth. So now you can find them on Amazon, online, Whole Foods, for example. Chewable probiotics, the one that I actually formulated myself in the form of a chewable probiotic mint is from all the research that I've gathered. It's just tastier. Some of them could be a little chalkier tasting and some could be in the form of like probiotic drinks, for example. So there's a variety of different things out there.
So you mentioned the acidity and things isn't necessarily good for your enamel.
Exactly. It's not good for your enamel.
What about, you know, have you taken part in the trend of taking a shot of like apple cider vinegar or something? That's probably pretty acidic, right?
It's very acidic, exactly. And, you know, even like lemon water, same thing. You know, people that sip on lemon water all day long. It is alkaline forming in the body. Same thing with the vinegar. You know, some people take the vinegar. If you take it as a shot, it's okay because it really doesn't make too much contact with the teeth. But sipping on like vinegar water or lemon water all morning long.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's bad. I think a shot of it, it's okay. But sipping on things that are acidic, it's very bad for your teeth.
Do you pay attention to the pH level in the water that you drink?
Absolutely. So I'm a big fan of alkaline water at our office in Beverly Hills. We have an alkaline filter at the sink.
Oh, really?
So the whole office gets alkaline water, yes.
Wow.
And at home, I have an alkaline water filter because we want to maintain our body in a good, normal, more neutral pH. So if we're too acidic, different conditions arise, like chronic fatigue, inflammation, more prone to infections. If we can keep our body in a more alkaline state, just slightly alkaline, like our blood is, then we feel better overall. We have a better quality of life and less diseases.
Gotcha. And that translates in your field to like healthier gums, healthier mouth in general.
Yes. And less sensitive teeth. Usually people who tell me, oh, I have very sensitive teeth, it really means their pH is on the low end.
Okay.
Because if saliva is acidic, it'll make your teeth more sensitive. And I noticed that in myself, actually, because I used to be a sugar addict.
Really?
So, yes. I used to love sugar, and I didn't know it that I had a problem. You
like
know?
Candy? Or
candy. Oh, my God. Cake. When I was young, yes, I loved any kind of sugar, especially I could eat 3 cakes in one sitting.
Could you still? I could.
So that sugar is acidic.
Yeah.
So people that usually are sugar addicts, they're more acidic. So for me, I had more fatigue. I had less energy when I was younger than I do today. But also my teeth were very sensitive. And when I finally tested my saliva, the pH with little strips, you know, like you do a pool, you test the pool water.
Yeah.
It's the same thing we test the saliva. My saliva was acidic. And then I started incorporating things, you know, drop the sugar, do other things to alkalinize my body. I noticed my teeth got less sensitive.
Gotcha. I'm thinking probably the same applies to someone who drinks a lot of coffee. That's
true.
Pretty acidic, isn't
yes,
it?
Exactly. Coffee will make somebody more acidic. Yes. So it's good to balance it out with some alkaline water.
How do you get that alkaline water? Because you said that you have something that's like on your, is it on a sink in your office?
Yes. Yes, it's under the sink. But you can buy it now everywhere, which is a nice thing about it. Like if you go to any supermarket, they typically have this as alkaline water, and it has a pH of like, let's say 9.0 or 8.0.
Yeah.
Some of the natural artesian waters or spring waters already are alkaline by nature. Okay. So it's something to look for.
Yeah, I was going to say, I've definitely seen that bottle, just kind of like, you know, maybe 24 fluid ounce bottle of it. But I'm just thinking like bigger scale. There's a ton of water coolers here that I drink out of all day long. And I'm like, I wonder what the pH balance on that is.
So I actually have this electronic pH meter. I'll have to bring it next time and test your water. You know, you put it in water and it gives you a reading and it kind of tells you where the water is.
Yeah, and you notice a difference in your energy from paying attention to that?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, that's really key to health, is maintaining our body in what is called homeostasis, or balancing the pH level.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So also I've read you speak some about like the use of narcotics in, like, let's say you get your wisdom teeth out and they automatically give you so much pain medication, even if you don't need it, or, you know, whatever the procedure is. And you're kind of an advocate for other alternative forms of alleviating pain. Mm-hmm. What would be an example of something to replace, like ibuprofen or whatever, you know, you're given?
Yes. We have good alternatives today for pain control, the good news is. And actually, as a dental association and medical associations, we are trying to cut down on opioid use. Because we do overprescribe things. So things like something simple that you can find anywhere is bromelain. Bromelain is an enzyme that's extracted from the stem of the pineapple. So not the actual fruit, but the stem of it. So we've had research to show that people that have had wisdom teeth removed and they've taken ibuprofen or bromelain, the pain control is the same. So it works just as good as ibuprofen.
Wow. And ibuprofen isn't helping you in the long run, right? Isn't it kind of like it'll mask the pain, but it can almost make your symptoms prolonged, right?
True. And the reason why it can prolong the symptoms is because it slows down the healing.
Gotcha.
So it cuts down on the cascade of events. So slowing down the healing can prolong your symptoms. You're right.
So when a patient comes to you to get some type of procedure done, does your office prescribe that?
We actually have it in the office. We have a small little section there for supplements.
Yeah.
So bromelain is one of them. We also have some homeopathic formulations that help with the pain, bruising, and swelling.
Gotcha.
One of them, a popular one, would be arnica, for example. That's also used by a lot of plastic surgeons, you know, to reduce the swelling and bruising.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So is there any food, I was thinking about this, is there any food that you can eat that could potentially help with, like, preventing tooth decay?
That's a good question. Actually, there is. You know, so let's step back a little bit. What is tooth decay?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
what is it? Why do teeth decay? People think, oh, it's just food that's stuck on there. Actually, what's happening is not the food that's decaying the tooth. It's actually the bacteria. There's a certain bacterium that, when you eat a lot of sugar, it kind of increases exponentially and it starts producing an acid. It's that acid byproduct of that bacteria that causes the enamel to dissolve. So that's how we get decays and cavities, is because too much of this bacteria sits around the tooth, causes an acid, which dissolves the tooth.
Yeah.
So we got to get rid of the bacteria.
Yeah.
You know, so what are some things that are good for you? Again, we're going back to probiotics. Let's say sauerkraut, for example, or, you know, pickle things with probiotics, but in raw form, not in the, let's say, sauerkraut with citric acid. Mm-hmm. It's actually just an acidic food. It doesn't have any probiotic. And a lot of that is on the market. So we really need the raw sauerkraut.
Raw sauerkraut,
yes.
Not necessarily like the packaged kind that
exactly.
you make on New Year's Day or whatever.
Right. Or probiotic mints also have been shown to reverse the level of this bacteria and really keep it to a minimum. Another thing is xylitol.
That's what you're on Good Day LA talking about,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's like around Halloween.
Exactly. Yeah. Xylitol candy. Because xylitol has been shown to reduce bad bacteria, such as the cavity-causing bacteria, and promote the growth of healthy bacteria. So now you can find xylitol in so many different stores in the form of candy or just as a table sugar to use
xylitol.
It as a sweetener. Yeah, you can bake with it too.
That's like one of those words that you would look at and think, this can't be good for me. You know,
yes,
it's
exactly.
Like, it has like
sweet.
A crazy name. And yeah, yeah. What are your thoughts on oil pulling? Do you do that?
I actually had to comment on this on a few online blogs on oil pulling because it's become such a big thing,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I had to go back and look at all the research that's been done on oil pulling because believe it or not, somebody's done some kind of research on anything that exists.
Yeah, I'm sure. I can imagine.
So oil pulling itself, it comes from Ayurvedic times, from 6,000 years ago or so.
Oh, wow.
When, you know, in India, Ayurvedic doctors were recommending cleaning the mouth. And at those times, they didn't have floss. They didn't have water jets. They just had oil pulling.
Right.
So they would take sesame oil, swish it back and forth for 20 minutes. And you have to do 20 minutes because that's when the oil turns into a soap.
Gotcha.
So you're literally creating soap in your mouth. 20, as you're
swishing. I've tried it before. I didn't even know anything about it. Someone just told me to do it. And 20 minutes is a long time.
It's a long time. I know. Yeah, I don't have the time to do it. No. So it's not bad to do it. However, I feel we have more effective tools today, such as a water jet on floss. You can mm-hmm. do it a lot faster, more effective.
Yeah.
And not oil pulling. And you know, some older people actually, there were two case reports in the literature where people actually aspirated the oil particles with bacteria in them. In their lungs while they were oil pulling.
Yeah, because that makes sense. Because when you're swishing it around your mouth, it gets like the bacteria gets sucked up in there.
Exactly.
And then if you swallow
Yes, and both of them ended up with pneumonia.
Oh, wow.
So it can also be dangerous, especially, you know, if you don't have a lot of control, or God forbid you have to sneeze or something, you have oil in your mouth, then it can go inside your lungs. So
yeah.
That'll be a side effect.
Actually, on that same vein, do you use charcoal at all to brush your teeth or... Like, mm-hmm. It can whiten your teeth, can't you?
Yeah, charcoal is great because it has this ability to pick up the bacteria and soak up toxins from around the teeth. The downside with it is that if you used it, you notice the sink, right?
Yeah.
It's all messy.
And so. You get weird looks from people. You know, like, why is your mouth black?
Exactly. Because it depends on the toothpaste. And I try quite a few of them. But some of them, the particles can end up stuck under your gum.
Oh,
I've seen that happen in my own mouth, like with one specific brand. I don't remember the name of it, but
I didn't even
think
about that.
Yeah, so it has to be really fine, the charcoal. But it's definitely, it helps, it whitens the teeth a little bit. If you can get over the messiness, it's good.
Did you notice I wrote down like all these things that I do just to get answers?
My
I also want to ask you about Sonicare or like Quip. There's some teeth brushes. Toothbrushes on the market that my dentist all the time is preaching about Sonicare. Is that something that you think people should invest in? Because they're kind of expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive. And you know, some people don't use them well. So I constantly look and I ask my patients every time. It's like, well, what kind of toothbrush are you using? What kind of floss are you using? Water or string?
Yeah.
Some people don't use the electric brush correctly. So in my opinion, you don't need an electric brush.
As long as you're brushing the right way.
Long as you're brushing the right way. And usually it's the length of time as well. So at least a minute and a half, I advise people. But also the most important thing, even if you're using an electric brush, you're still left with in between the teeth that you need to clean.
Yeah.
So what I've seen with my patients is that a water jet cleans 360 degree around the teeth versus a Sonicare or like any other electric brush, which doesn't exactly get the in-between.
Gotcha.
So my recommendation to patients is use a manual brush. You know, water jets are a lot less expensive than electric toothbrushes. And I find that my patients get better results with that.
Yeah. The hygienist I always go to is the nicest woman. She should be one of those like life coach people because she's just, I feel like when you're in a position like that, you're just constantly like treating someone and spending time with the patient. You just end up like sharing your life kind of and chatting back and forth. And she, in the many things she's blessed upon me and her wisdom was talking about how she always notices that patients who use a water jet, like you're saying, she can notice a difference in their gum health.
Absolutely. Yes.
Versus just like the string flossing.
Yes, absolutely. Because most people don't use string floss correctly. Mm. You know, you have to wrap it around like a C and yeah. get it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Nobody does that. No. Really. So yeah, the water jet is easier.
It's hard to
for
get
sure.
back in the back there. I love going to the dentist because
nice.
I just like the feeling after. You know, it's kind of like just a satisfying feeling when your teeth are so clean.
Yes.
Do you find that a lot of people, though, come to your office and they dread going because they're worried about, like, being lectured or, you know, they're kind of, like, ashamed
yes.
of going?
Yes. You'd be surprised just how many people don't go into the dentist, either finances, right?
True, yeah.
Because especially if they don't want to hear the fact that, oh, my God, I have a cavity, and now what else are they going to find? They're worried about how much money they need to spend.
Totally.
Secondly, about the pain. A lot of people say, oh my God, this is going to hurt. Even some people doing a tooth cleaning, they said they've gotten painful tooth cleanings. I'm like, that's impossible. We shouldn't be cleaning people's teeth to the point where it hurts.
Yeah.
So if anybody has experienced that, I advise them to just kind of talk to their hygienist about it. Say, hey, you know what? Your cleanings are really painful. Can you, you know...
Yeah.
Be gentler
or
find somebody else if they're not listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. And then the other thing is definitely the shame of, you know, my God, I'm so dirty. I'm so far along. So a lot of people end up, you know, who have a lot of issues, they say, oh, I'm so sorry. You know, they're apologizing. I'm like, there's no need to apologize.
Yeah.
You know, we're here to help everyone and definitely not to judge people. I mean, everybody has their own story and why they weren't able to take care of themselves. Maybe they were taking care of someone else for
exactly.
years and now they finally make time for themselves.
Yeah. And if they finally find themselves in the dentist chair, like, you made it, you know,
yes.
like that, at least you're there.
Yes.
Right. Even if it's been a couple years
exactly.
or whatever.
Yes.
I was thinking about the Hangover movies. Have you watched those movies?
Yes, especially with a dentist.
Stu is a dentist. And I feel like the dentist doesn't get any respect among the doctor world.
Yes.
Is that a thing?
Oh, the part where they say, you're like, just the dentist.
Yeah, it's like a running joke in that movie. And then, like, so I have gathered that there's like a wall between dentistry and medical
yes.
doctors. Is that, have you experienced that?
Yes, because that's how it's taught in schools. And there's been this segregation as like, you know, your mouth is over here, but the rest of your body is over across the river. You know, it's like
yeah.
when it's really just one patient. And
yeah.
a lot of things that happen in the mouth affect the body, such as gum disease. Bacteria travels all over the body from gum disease. It travels
oh, totally.
To the heart, to the lungs, to the joints, you know, and the same way goes like somebody, let's say, who has autoimmune disease. Well, it will affect their mouth. And sometimes we diagnose autoimmune disease in the mouth first because we see the signs before and then we send them to a physician. So one of my big passions is actually to bridge that gap that you're talking about between dentists and doctors
uh-huh.
and nutritionists, you know, acupuncturists, just so that we understand, so we all understand how important oral health is
yeah.
and how we can make a difference as dentists. A lot of times, you know, we have patients that spend thousands of dollars to maintain their health and optimum levels, but their mouth is full of infection.
Yeah, that's so crazy how someone could be eating so healthy, could you know, have a bunch of boxes checked and that they're living this great way, but then
yes.
they've got some stuff going on in their mouth.
Yes, and they're completely ignoring it.
Yeah.
You know, but luckily today we have quite a few great physicians who are actually looking in the mouth and you know,
yeah.
noticing, hey, when was the last time you saw your dentist? If it's been years, they're going to say, you know what, go get it checked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So you say it kind of starts in like education
yes.
between the two fields.
Yes.
Ah.
Yeah, that's one of my passions. So it's one of the things I love to do.
Can we talk a little bit about your book, which I'm holding?
Sure.
So you said that this took you about 7 years to gather info for, right?
Yes. Heal Up was definitely a passion, a project.
How has it been since it's been out? Have you gotten like a lot of good feedback and stuff?
Yes. It came out in September this year. So just like what, 3 months ago. But I've gotten great feedback from patients because one of my goals was to put the information in simple terms. And that's one of the things I'm hearing is like, oh, you know, it was such an easy read and I got so much out of it.
Yeah.
Even for people that already knew a lot about health, there were little pearls in there that maybe they could take away. For example, like sleep apnea. A lot of people said, you know, I had no idea sleep apnea can be so dangerous to one's health that it increases mortality rate by 47%.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like I hear all the time about sleep apnea now.
Yes, you're right.
As if it's being diagnosed more or something.
Yes, you're right. It was going undiagnosed for a long time because we didn't really think it was a big deal. Okay, yeah, somebody next to you snoring. Okay, let's just go to the other room.
Yeah, no, he just always snores. Yeah.
But now we're doing sleep studies and understanding that a lack of oxygen really puts the brain in a, you know, more prone to strokes.
Yeah. Oh, yes. My gosh. Yeah, it can be like terrible.
Yes.
It can lead to terrible things.
Yeah, and the other thing is sleep apnea is a sign of inflammation, typically. Yeah. So normally people who are overweight, the best thing they could do is a detox, lose some weight, adjust their diet, and they can really decrease their sleep apnea by themselves.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. It all comes back to nutrition.
Nutrition, right? And a healthy lifestyle. You know, it's just about a lifestyle, not just about one pill or...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, which
There's
is
no
the reason.
Cure-all pill.
No, that's why I wrote this book in a way. I had patients that were asking me, okay, well, what pill can I take to increase my bone density? Or, you know, it's not one thing. It's really like lifestyle choices that we make at an early age to really keep us healthy long term.
Yeah. Sleeping, prioritizing sleep, drinking good water.
Yes, absolutely. Right? That's exactly what I talk about in there.
Physical activity, I would guess, has some connection.
Yes, physical activity, meditation.
Oh, sure.
It's an important one.
Yeah, de-stress.
De-stress, very, very important.
So before I get you out of here, where are you originally from?
I'm originally Romanian.
Oh.
Yeah, I grew up in Romania. I was born in a city called Sibiu, which is in the Transylvania part of Romania.
Transylvania. I just met someone from Transylvania.
Another vampire fella. No.
That's where I feel like that's like associated all the time with Transylvania.
It's from very
that,
true.
From that movie.
Yes.
When did you move to the United States?
I moved to the U.S. at close to 15 years of age with my mom, my dad, and my brother. And actually, in the introduction of the book, I do talk a little bit about my life in Romania growing up, because a lot of those values are coming back now and I appreciate them more than when I was growing up.
Of course.
You know, my grandparents were gardening, and I learned how to, you know, compost and, you know, give it back to the earth, how microbes are so important for the earth in order to get good vegetables.
Yeah.
They were growing chickens, you know, we were growing mushrooms and herbs and drying herbs for medicinal purposes. So I learned a lot from growing up there.
I love that. There's someone I work with who drinks chicken bone broth every morning. And it's so funny how that's become kind of popular.
Yes.
Because you think about how, like, back in the old days when, like, great grandma would be making soup to heal you.
Yes.
And how bone broth has, like, all these healing qualities in it. And it's like things that, as you were mentioning before, like, are coming back, in that there may have been a lot of truth in things that have been happening this whole time.
Yes, exactly. We just didn't analyze them down to the nutritional level. But bone broth also is great in collagen.
Yeah.
So it's great for beauty, you know, for wrinkles and supple skin. And, you know, collagen products now are everywhere. But we really need collagen as we age, not just for beauty, but also for joints and for bone density. We need good collagen.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. What do you have going on the rest of the day?
I'm going to go back to the office. You know, I'm getting ready to the close of the year here. It's December. It's the holidays. Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
What's like the busiest time in dentistry? Like, is there a busy month?
Probably about now.
Really?
And the reason is, you know, a lot of people want to use up their insurance. Because
usually
it ends at the end of December. So I encourage people, if they have money left, definitely to take care of it.
Yeah.
But also anybody who wants to look good, we're, you know, whitening specials and things, because everybody wants to smile in their photos. And nowadays, you know, you can whiten your smile for like safely without having to worry about.
Yeah.
You know,
or with a filter.
Or with a filter. That's true.
It's bad. It's bad. I used to use Crest white strips.
Yes.
Speaking of, and they made my teeth so sensitive that I think that can't be good.
You have beautiful white teeth, by the way.
Thank you. Really do. But I can't use it anymore because it made my teeth so sensitive.
So nowadays the laser procedures for whitening cause no sensitivity.
Okay. And so, that's kind of a more healthy approach to
Yes. Once you're, it's okay to have some sensitivity, and Crest white strips do work, but they can cause some sensitivity. So you could do them like every third day, for example, instead of every day, just space them out a little bit more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went hard. Back in, 2012 or something.
I had really a lot of sensitivity from previous whitening. Mm. Like, they used to take an hour and a half, and I remember waking up, like, at 4 a.m., my teeth were throbbing. I'm like, oh, that's so much pain.
And, like, that can't be good, right?
No, it's not good. Yeah, it's definitely not good. So now a lot of things have changed, so we have much safer whitening techniques.
Gotcha, cool. Okay, well, we're going to put a link to your book in the show notes, and I've been on your website. Is it drsandamoldovan.com?
Yes.
Did I say your last name right?
Yes, you did. Perfect. Okay.
That's what I thought, but it could be, I was looking at it, I'm like, it could be Moldovan, kind of like phonetically, or it could be Moldovan.
Yeah, no, it's Moldovan. You got it right, yes. But it's also on Amazon.
Yes.
Might be an
easier
way to.
What's your website? DrSandaMoldovan.com.
Yes, that's it.
And that's what you are on social media and stuff too, right?
Yes, at Dr. Sanda. People know me as Dr. Sanda. Shorter.
Very good. Cool. Well, thank you for taking the time to share your wisdom.
My pleasure, anytime.
I love it. Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. If you haven't already, head to our Olympic and Bundy show page in your podcast app and leave us a rating and review. The best reviews, I think, are the ones that share their favorite guest and why. I love hearing which guests resonate with people. Now, go brush your teeth and floss your teeth. Maybe even use a water pick. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.